You're in the home 6010. Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. It is Thursday, December 29th. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. Field reminded us right before we started the show, this is our last Thursday night football show of the season. Three of us were really disappointed about that.
Who do you think was the one person that was like, I can't wait for the year to be over? I'm like... Sorry, I got
Oh, it was Mike?
That's just because I'm excited for the playoffs.
Oh.
Wow.
Playoffs?
Playoffs? Like, we're trying to win a game.
No, I'm ready for the playoffs.
Against the Bears this weekend because we're the Lions. We got to win.
Oh, my gosh.
Too many backup quarterbacks playing right now. It's just too
Mike,
many teams
for some people,
in for the season.
Like for the people who listen to the show, this is their playoffs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's a good point.
You might want to keep
that's okay. Mike was eliminated from
that.
Mike's not in any of his league anymore.
I knew it. As soon as she said it, I was like, here it comes.
There we go. A lot of stuff to be able to get to today. We're going to talk about our Thursday night preview, as we always do. Dive into some news that happened yesterday, Field, and then a whole bunch of previews for our Week 17 slate. We will do the same thing on Friday. Oh, also, our good friend Adam Schefter is going to stop by.
He'll be here. That's right, as he
always. Let's start with the news, though, as I feel like this is a crazy thing that happened. The Las Vegas Raiders and Josh McDaniels have decided to bench Derek Carr for the final two games of the season in place of Jared Stidham. And now Jared Stidham is going to get to have his first NFL, well, not first NFL action, but first start as the Raiders quarterback against Stefania's San Francisco 49ers.
Welcome to the league, kid.
I want to ask two different things about this field. Like, one is just like a football aspect, but the other one is how it's going to impact us for fantasy. So I want to start with fantasy first really quickly.
Yeah, that's easy.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's, or I shouldn't say easy, but that part is what people are probably here for more than they are the minutia of his contract and why they're doing this right now.
I'm here for all of it.
Yeah. Okay, good. So, Mike, why don't you handle the fantasy? I'll get into the football side.
You want me to do the contract?
Yeah. No, you can do that next year during the playoffs.
Okay.
If your team makes it.
Yeah.
Right,
okay.
Got it. Yeah. I'll just say he'll be on another team next year. I think that's safe.
That's what
he is. Yes.
So, fantasy wise, I mean, look, this is not an offense. It's been great. They've been probably around average in offense. They have been around average in offensive scoring this season. It's going to be a downgraded quarterback, right? Yeah. I mean, Derek Carr might have me blocked, but he's a decent quarterback. He's an average quarterback, say, an average starting quarterback. Jared Stidham is not, right? There's a reason he's a backup in this league in his 61 pass attempts. And in the small body of work that we've seen, it hasn't been good. He's completed about half of his passes, 5.6 yards per attempt. It has not been good so far. So there's reasons for concern here that this is going to be a really inefficient game. I think the only thing you have going for you from a fantasy perspective is they are playing the Niners, who they can't. Nobody can run on them. They're going to have to throw the football a lot. So maybe you get 40 pass attempts out of Stidham, and it saves Davante Adams. But
did you hear Kyle Shanahan's comments when asked about this quarterback change?
Oh, dang it. I was supposed to kiss you guys before we started the show today, and I totally forgot.
Okay. That's awkward and weird, and I know what that
there's
is
context that probably
to.
Would be
it
helpful,
would be
to
helpful
add,
but we're not going to talk. I want to talk about Kyle Shanahan's comments when asked about Jared Stidham.
Okay, sure. Those comments are good.
Because they were asking if he was familiar with him because of seeing him in the Senior Bowl. And he says, yeah, we've seen him in the Senior Bowl, but he's also played a little bit, so we've had a chance. And he said he's got an arm. He can throw the ball like Derek Carr. He's like, but he hasn't been out there a lot. And so that I think his quote was... hopefully we'll confuse him and we'll make it tough on him. I mean, this is going to be a field day in scheming it up for Jared Stidham. So while I appreciate your point that they can, you know, the secondary can be had, I think the 49ers have the advantage.
I'm not even saying that. I think it'll be inefficient. I just think you might have to throw it a lot because they're trailing
the
Niners.
Going to have to throw
and
it
you
a
can't
lot.
Run the ball against the Niners. So
play your
a lot
Niners
of third and longs
D.
And,
I think the good news for the Raiders skill players that you care about is that none of them are on the fringe. None of them were on the fringe prior to this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if we had a running back who was, like, normally RB23 or something, how much would it impact things? Or if we had a wide receiver, maybe more appropriately, if we had a wide receiver who was like, hey, you know, he's like wide receiver 31 on average. Does this mean that he goes from wide receiver 31 to wide receiver 37, where all of a sudden you're like, all right, I'm not playing him, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's out. I think, you know, Davante Adams is Davante Adams. I know he hasn't been Davante Adams of late, but... he's so high up our wide receiver rankings that even if he took a nosedive, relatively speaking, he nosedives from like wide receiver 5 to like wide receiver 10.
Well, in spite of that, too, if you're Jared Stidham, I know where I'm, at least if I'm Jared Stidham, right. I know where I'm going to throw the ball. I'm going to force feed it to Devontae Adams.
Number 17, hopefully. Throw it to him. Yeah. Like, you want him to get over the fact that his best friend on the team has been benched.
Absolutely.
And sort of like sequestered into obscurity. Throw it to him as many times as possible. So it wouldn't surprise any of us, by the way, if we see a massive target share for Devontae Adams. Think of it like this. Trace McSorley, who I think is an inferior thrower of the ball to Jared Stidham, and I'm not saying it's by a dramatic amount, but still, Stidham, a more well-known passer in his college days than McSorley was, he just gave DeAndre Hopkins 10 targets this past Sunday night.
And he caught.
Now, he got one of them, Mike, so, but still, the point is that, like, if I told you, would you roll the dice with 10 targets for Devontae Adams?
Of course.
You probably would roll the dice in your championship matchup. Yep. So, yeah.
How about Devontae Adams, though? Like, he made a decision to go to Vegas.
Oof.
Because
it's a weird. Derek, so there are a lot of things that are weird about this. Everybody knows, or probably has been reminded in the past 18 or so hours, that Derek Carr did sign an extension this offseason with the Raiders. 3 years, up to $121.5 million. As always in the NFL, the devil's in the details, right? And the details are that basically he got a $5 million raise for 2022 and a we'll see beyond this season. We will very much see beyond this season. I think a reasonable person would be betting that Derek Carr is not going to be back next year, and that's part of the reason why they are benching him now.
Keep separate him out apart of harm's from the way, fact,
exactly.
Right?
Because if he is unable to pass a physical on the third day of the waiver period, and this is where the real nerd is coming out here.
Yeah,
the waiver period refers to the day after the Super Bowl is over and subsequent days beyond that. So the third day will be Wednesday after the Super Bowl. If he can't pass a physical, the Raiders are on the hook for a whole boatload of money. Mm-hmm. So basically, the Raiders are protecting themselves from Derek Carr getting hurt in these final 2 weeks and then being tethered to Derek Carr, at least financially, going into next season. It sure seems like a trade or a release. Mm-hmm. I think a trade probably, like, that's their preference, obviously.
Does he have a trade clause?
He does have it. He has some protection over where he goes beyond this. So it'll be I don't think they're going to, you know, send Derek Carr to the moon this offseason. He'll have some influence, I would think. And I think that as we are getting ready for the offseason to begin for, 18 of the 32 teams in, 10 days from right now?
Yep.
Expect another, I would say, very notable quarterback carousel this offseason, like we saw this past year. But it's a move that the Raiders felt like they had to make. It's a bigger picture move than it is a smaller picture move. Even if Derek Carr has been struggling, I can guarantee you that the Raiders are a better team with Derek Carr on the field than they are with him off the field. The line moved by 3.5 points yesterday, for those that keep track of such things. San Francisco is very much in control of this game on paper. We'll see what happens on Sunday. But for fantasy purposes, I don't think it really moves the needle that much. I really wouldn't want any part of Hunter Renfrow, whether it was Derek Carr or Jared Stidham on Sunday. But with Stidham starting, probably only lowers the value of Hunter Renfrow. We did have a nice game last week in the first half, but things really bottom out for that offense in the second half.
Yeah, I agree. Devontae Adams, you're still starting. Josh Jacobs, we're downgrading a lot and still starting, and I'm worried that he'll be more in it. Maybe they took a longer look at Zamir White, something like that. But Renfrow, you're not playing. Matt Collins, you're not playing. And honestly, Darren Waller, more of a tight end too, I think. I'm not necessarily locking him, and he's fine. I mean, if you... He's a borderline
on my
option.
Board. Where
yeah,
I am
he,
right
very close as well. So he's not a must start for sure.
Gosh, what a crazy thing. I cannot wait for the offseason. We're going to have a lot of fun conversations about where do we want to see Derek Carr go? Where would he be best?
Be
just all of these guys. There's going to be a lot of fun free agent stuff to be able to talk about.
So we're coming every week during the offseason.
That's right.
Which, by the way, that starts next week. Next week we do one show, which is a part because of the offseason and part because of the fact that it's the new year and all that. So we'll be back next Friday.
That's
after
right.
Tomorrow's show on Friday.
All right. Thursday night preview.
When you say game, are you previewing the preseason game? At least that the Titans are playing tonight.
It's really
or is this a regular season.
This
game?
Is tough. It feels sort of like the Hall of Fame game is what I'm watching here.
It's gonna be like the Eagles Cowboys week 18 last year. Remember the Cowboys got all the Eagles backups and it was really close in the first quarter, and then Dak threw like 5 touchdowns or something.
Yeah,
that's like this.
That's what this is gonna be.
Get one of these every year.
By the way, I screwed up Thursday next week, Friday. My bad. I'm an idiot. Which people already knew. So
no,
I don't know why I announced
it.
No, I did. It's okay.
Oh,
I figured nobody would retain it.
The mics are on. Jeez, Mike.
Lineup locks include Tony Pollard, Ezekiel Elliott, and CeeDee Lamb. Stefania, though, we've got injuries on both sides of the ball. I'm going to ask you, what do fantasy managers need to know for Thursday Night Football?
Well, the Derrick Henry one is the easiest place to start because he's doubtful. And I don't think you're going to see Derrick Henry play. We're already talking about why this game is maybe not going to matter for Tennessee, that next week against Jacksonville is the game that really matters in terms of what their status is for the playoffs. So Derrick Henry dealing with a hip issue. And even though he said, he kind of gave the pat answer talking to reporters, I'll do whatever they ask me to do, I'll do. Sounds like Derrick Henry with a doubtful tag. You never see guys go, he's not going to play. And then Tony Pollard is listed as questionable. The report from Ed Werder that they're going to, you know, he's traveling to Nashville. They're going to work him out pregame and make a decision at that point. But we already talked yesterday about how we're just not confident that Tony Pollard's going to play. And even if he did, it'd be a very limited amount of work. We shall see. But it's not looking great.
Are we still 0-for on doubtfuls playing this year? Unless you can think of one off the top of your head?
I can't think of one off the top of my head.
All right, so new rule is like if a reporter like 4 hours before the game tonight says like Derrick Henry won't play per source, we can say your source is common knowledge.
Yeah.
It's common sense, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's
right now. And I go on the rest of the
Can we credit Mike Clay first? Yeah. Mike Clay says he won't play tonight. 4 hours.
I don't want to jinx it, but yeah, it's usually.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, if we're 0-for this season and he breaks the streak, like, or he keeps the streak alive, like.
It'd be one of those things where people would come back and look at Mike Vrabel, like, why was he listed as doubtful? And nobody wants to invite that scrutiny.
Yeah. And by the way, it looks like the Titans are saying this week, if we win next week, we're in.
Yeah.
And yes, there are some very distant scenarios where the Titans could lose next week and still make the playoff or have some sort of wild card opportunity if they win tonight and lose next week. Those scenarios are so minuscule that it sure seems like Mike Vrabel is saying, essentially, this game means nothing. So let's get Derrick Henry, the big dog. And by the way, a ton of defensive starters, including their best defensive player in Jeffrey Simmons, also healthy between guys that are out and guys that are banged up. It's going to be a skeleton crew for this Titans defense tonight.
It's their top two edge rushers, top two off-ball linebackers, their top corner, their top safety, and their top interior defensive lineman.
Oh, my
to mention they have like 8 guys on IR.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the defense is – and by the way, like – it's not like they're just healthy scratching guys. All these guys were questionable, right?
Hurt.
I mean,
they're all
hurt, so they're trying to get healthy for next week. If this game was more meaningful and maybe they're playing Jacksonville this week and Henry was feeling a little better today, maybe then. But there's really no motivation for them to play Henry and not, you know, near 100%. So it doesn't make any sense.
When you look at this, understanding that so much of their defense is not playing this week, how are you ranking Dak Prescott? Because I've watched Dak Prescott be a lot of ups and downs so far this year.
Great last week, though.
Last week, he was QB1, which was fantastic. Now, I feel like I'm looking at it. My rankings, I have him as quarterback 15. I think that's too low, knowing that the Titans are going to be without so many defensive starters.
Yeah, if he busts, it's going to be because they just scored 3 rushing touchdowns, or he threw one and they ran into, which they do a lot. Obviously, run heavy team, they're going to be able to throw the ball. And then he doesn't do much the rest of the game and maybe doesn't play a lot of the second half. And that's a real risk in a game where they're, you know, what, 12 to, is it still 12 and a half or is it up higher now?
12 and a half as of right now.
Is that the new line, right? I mean, that could continue to change. We'll see. But look, I have Dak at 9. You know, if this was a game where we thought it'd be more competitive, we might have him higher because he might have to throw more. That's just the concern here. He's been adding value with his legs. He's scoring a lot of touchdowns, 3 total touchdowns in 4 of his last 5 games. And the Titans, really, they've been pretty good against the run. It's a pass where they've been horrific this season. So there's a couple things to weigh here. I think he's a mid to back end QB1. I think that's safely where he belongs.
And I think I will add one thing. Stefania mentioned Tony Pollard's health. If Pollard is out, then that just means like slightly less likely that near the goal line, a Cowboys running back is going to run the ball in. Yes, Zeke will get his, and Zeke will be very productive tonight, we think. But Zeke has also benefited on occasion this year in drives in which Tony Pollard does the legwork, and then they get the ball to the goal line. It's like, all right, Zeke, you're in. If Zeke has to do the legwork, he's going to be more tired. Might mean the Cowboys are slightly more prone to throw the football from goal-to-go situations tonight, which would be a good thing for Dak's value this evening.
I think you would take the shot. If you knew that Dallas was going to score 35, you would hope that even if Dak gets pulled at halftime, he was a part of helping them get to that point, which is part of this.
Yeah, usually when a guy gets pulled at halftime, it's like it's been such a monster performance. It happened with Tua against the Texans a while back where it was like, he got pulled, but he put up like 3 touchdowns and 215 yards.
Right. Yeah, the Cowboys are just such an odd situation, though, right? I mean, they've scored, 3+ touchdowns, averaging like 4.5 touchdowns since Dak came back. And Dak has two finishes better than eighth.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like you would think with all them touchdowns, but if they're all like Zeke scored in eight straight games. Right. Tony Pollard has 10 touchdowns in his last like eight games. I mean,
they maybe are running a balanced offense. That is what they wanted to do.
No Tony Pollard, though, Mike. If he's out, certainly. Right. And we'll ask you after you hit. It sounds like his thoughts will align with Stefania's, but we'll get further context about how likely it is that he plays tonight.
When you look at this with Dalton Schultz. Dalton Schultz has been terribly vexing and really frustrating for me because I feel
vexing.
Like...
Vexing.
Great
word. Vexing made the podcast today.
Vexing.
Oh, he came back from after his injury. He started out and he looked really nice, but these last couple of games, he's under 50 receiving yards in five of his last six. He has not been a top 15 tight end in three of his last four.
You know what's funny, though, is that, like, how many tight ends have been over 50 receiving yards in, like, at least two of their past six games?
Even good tight ends are, like, 34 yards a game.
That's tough.
Five of them?
Right? How are you looking at? I mean, I've got Dalton Schultz outside my top 12 just because of that, but how are you looking at Dalton Schultz this week, Field?
Yeah, I'm looking at him like he is not Travis Kelce, nor is he Evan Ingram or George Kittle or TJ Hawkinson.
TJ Hawkinson, yeah.
How's that? Yeah, that's how I'm looking at him. Yeah, I'm taking a dart. I'm going to throw it at Mike's garage because he said some disparaging things about me earlier on in the podcast.
That's
I hope
fair.
That it lands just on this tiny little sliver that says like 25 fantasy points on his. He actually has stickers on the outside of his garage.
And we just, say that.
I was going to say, why are you throwing darts in my garage? Yeah. It's a super random thing to do. Well, it would just hit the side of the garage and fall to the ground.
I don't know. I don't want to throw it at your dartboard because that would like, that's like a dartboard is intended to be thrown at, right? Okay. Like I'm trying to damage your house because you disparage my name.
We didn't go all the way to eggs. We use darts.
With the darts. Yeah. It's really a lot of damage.
That's I prefer darts to... Eggs.
Okay, fine. I'll throw eggs.
A dart's just going to hit the wall and fall to the ground, and then I'll just pick it up and put it in the garbage.
Okay, fine. I'm going to throw eggs at your house and then throw darts at your house later.
Really quickly.
This is really, I know. This is not gone.
Is there anybody, on just speaking of dart throws, that you're even thinking about starting from the Titans tonight?
No. Burks, no Woods, no Okonkwo, no, none of the, by the way, we didn't mention this, but the backup running backs are going to be Hassan Haskins, day three draft pick, and Julius Chestnut. They're both big backs. Haskins at times has filled in for Dontrell Hilliard and like the passing down work. So I think they'll probably split carries, could split goal line work. They're both big backs.
It'll be a practice squad call up tonight too.
Yeah. It's Jonathan Ward.
Yeah.
Jonathan Ward would be the next guy. He could get a few snaps too. Yeah. Former Cardinal. And, I think Haskins will get the lean in passing situations, so maybe he gets three targets, but...
RB38 is where I have him.
Exactly. Yeah, you're not... I'm sure people are wondering, can we pick up Haskins and plug him in? I think the answer is no. You want to avoid that.
Yep. With you on that. All right. That's it for Thursday Night Football.
Pick the game.
Let's move... Oh, do you want to pick the game? All right. I'll take the Cowboys.
I'm going to go out on a limb and take the Cowboys. What's the
28-15 Dallas, and that feels too close.
That's a huge gap for you, I feel like.
That is for me, yeah.
It's and I mean, also, about the line. No decimals. Very disappointing.
Yeah.
Well, that's Kyle's fault. Totally he put the score. He found my score for me and didn't put the decimals in.
Wow.
I'm going to throw him right under the bus.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you did.
I don't say, my geez.
There's the decimals, man. What am I doing that work for?
Fine.
I was saying the Cowboys.
30-13 Cowboys.
That sounds.
Does anybody want to board bet me? Like Malik Willis has yet to surpass 100 passing yards in his three starts. 100. Does anybody think he'll go over 100?
Yes, I do.
You do?
I think he gets there. I think it's going to be a lot of garbage time.
I do too, which is a bummer. But man, okay. So you think you'd take it?
I would definitely take over.
What about 150? You get to 150?
Mm-hmm, I don't think so.
125?
Why are you trying to mess this up for me?
I'm just trying to know. I'm just saying.
I won 99 and a half.
Can we? No. It's whatever. We can do a board bet for 100. I don't care. Whatever.
I don't care either. It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah.
It'll be something to invest ourselves.
He'll get like 102 in the last play.
That'll
of the game.
Be the thing to watch for from the Titans.
Yeah.
All right. I say Malik Willis throws for under 100 passing yards tonight.
I say Malik Willis throws for over 100 passing yards, or over or equal 100 passing yards.
I'm taking this maestro.
All right,
if he throws for 100, Daniel wins.
There we go.
Put it on the board.
We tried.
Off the board is terrible.
Stefania,
so bad.
That was such a poorly executed.
It was really bad. It was really not great.
The math in my head was not computing as I was saying. I was like, well, what about 100? It just messed me up.
$50 Movie Foundation. If he throws over 100.
All right. Okay. Let's talk game previews for Sunday. We're going to start with the Redbirds at the Blackbirds. Cardinals at Falcons. Lineup blocks include James Conner and DeAndre Hopkins. Stefania, we have some injury updates, though, on the quarterback situation.
Yeah, it's going to be Colt McCoy. Trace McSorley, thank you very much. But Colt McCoy fully practicing, and he will be back under center. Obviously, Kyler Murray's done for the year.
Okay. So with Kyler Murray being done for the year, Colt McCoy back under center. Mike, when you look at these Cardinals pass catchers, how are you breaking them down with DeAndre Hopkins and Hollywood Brown?
Yeah. So I covered this a little in receiver corner this week. I think AJ Terrell will shadow DeAndre Hopkins. It's not a major concern. Terrell was awesome last year. He's been up and down this year, but they've asked him to shadow number ones at times. Okay. DK Metcalf, Amari Cooper, Mike Evans, Jamar Chase, Terry McLaurin, among others. So Hopkins lines up on the perimeter about 70% of the time. I think Terrell will be on him. He's coming off a rough game, one catch on 10 targets, but Colt McCoy likes throwing his way. We've seen that so far this season, so not super concerned about that. The Falcons, though, fewest fantasy points to receivers over the last 8 weeks and the fewest to the perimeter. So they have, you know, some of that's game script related, but they've cracked down a little bit. So this makes me maybe a little bit nervous, but you're starting DeAndre Hopkins.
Maybe still DeAndre Hopkins.
Maybe DFS, you step away from him, go another direction, but not too worried about it in season long.
Yeah, he's been so great for you and the volume that he's been getting, it's hard to be able to go away from. So Field, on the other side of the football, I want to talk about Tyler Allgeier because he is the rookie that really seems to matter for this Falcons offense right now. He just continues to crush it.
Just like we suspected. Over the past 2 weeks, he has nearly 215 rushing yards. He's been so good. Cordarrelle Patterson is now campaigning for him to be in the Offensive Rookie of the Year conversation. I'm not sure I'd go quite that far. Yeah. But still, nearly 40 fantasy points over the past 2 weeks. He has been RB8 over these past 2 weeks. And what I think we are seeing is that, A, he's getting way more opportunity.
Yeah.
B, he's getting some passing game work as well, as he actually had 4 catches last week, which is good. So if you sprinkle in 2 to 4 targets for Tyler Allgeier, plus 15 to 20 carries for Tyler Allgeier, I think he slots in as a reasonable flex option against a Cardinals defense that I think is okay against the run.
Yeah.
I think whatever. That doesn't scare me as a matchup, and I don't think game script's going to be a problem either. I think the Falcons will be able to run the football a lot. They can follow the formula that led them to being like 5-5 at one point during this season.
Yeah, Arizona, and they've really struggled against the run the last couple of weeks. 38 plus points to Denver and Bucks running backs. So they've had the fourth most fantasy points to running backs now.
There you
go. Good matchup. Okay. And by the way,
better matchup than I realized.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes these like young guys will have a couple fluke games. We'll be like, you know what, the volume's not there. You want to slow down a little bit. I'm buying it on Allgeier, right? Sure. I'm really high on him. First of all, I loved his profile coming in. He was a really interesting sleeper Atlanta found, and he looks like the real deal. But career highs in snap share, carries, and targets last week. The week before, career highs in rushing yards and fantasy points. This is 2 weeks in a row. The volume's going up. 18-plus touches in back-to-back games. A good matchup. He's, 22nd. This is the highest we've had him all season. You're probably starting him.
5-10. If they're looking towards the future, it would be smart to get him plenty of opportunity down the stretch to see whether or not he is the real deal for them going forward. And it certainly seems like he is on that track.
You know who else needs to get plenty of opportunity down the stretch here in order to see what they have going forward? Drake London.
Yeah. He's been good.
Drake London, wide receiver 22 over the last month. Here's the question, though. Wide receiver 22, he's got Desmond Ridder under center over the last month. Yep. How do you trust him here in a playoff matchup in spite of how good he has been over the last little bit? Because this Falcons offense, the passing offense, doesn't inspire a lot of confidence in spite of the target share that he's been getting.
I'd say that you trust him only in a flex option in a deeper league. That's probably the only circumstances in which you are actually in the championship and wondering whether you should be playing Drake London or not. But I think the upside is that it's finally a reasonable matchup for Desmond Ridder under center. And they might actually score a touchdown because they've been playing either in bad matchups or in ridiculous weather last week where the passing game was virtually a non-factor. Touchdowns do concern me as they have, I believe, just one offensive touchdown so far with Desmond Ridder. I don't think any passing touchdowns with Desmond Ridder since he took over as the starter. And I think Ritter's a ways away, right? I think that's pretty clear. I still imagine that Atlanta will be in the quarterback market this upcoming draft, or at least this offseason. So Desmond Ridder, not quite the prolific passer with some maybe hoped he could be right out of the gates. But I have Drake London as a low-end wide receiver 38.
Agreed.
Stefania, over under 0.75 sacks for J.J. Watt in his final game.
His final game?
Well, he's saying he's retiring.
Yeah.
So you're saying we're talking week 18 then?
Oh, sorry. This is week 17.
Yeah, what are you doing, man? I thought there was something. I didn't know where he was going with that.
You know what? I'm thinking, Daniel, and I know Mike is going to laugh at this, but not that J.J. Watt, he's made so much money. I'm sure like a couple extra, $100,000 or whatever.
Feels good. Oh, he's looking up the contract
and incentives.
He does have an incentive sitting around the corner here. He can get with another half sack. He would make himself an extra $100,000, which,
you know, that's not nothing.
I've also found this, that like, no matter how much money you have, people love to make more money.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. It's human nature, right? Yeah. So 100K, I'd want 100K with a half a sack. So.
Well, it's also cool because you get it after doing something really good, like stacking Desmond. Yeah.
Also, you know, you want to go out. JJ Watt wants to go out on top. He doesn't want to go out, you know, quietly. So,
no, you're right. Yeah.
So I'm going to take the over.
Okay.
And then we can revisit
it
again
in week 18. Yeah, all right. Yeah. That sounds fair. All right. Let's move ahead. We'll talk Bears at Lions for our next game. Lineup blocks for this one include Justin Fields, David Montgomery, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Stefania, I do want to ask you about Chase Claypool as a pass catcher for Justin Fields.
Yeah, still not practicing. Obviously, we only have one day's worth of practice under our belts here with the injury reports, but he hasn't played since week 13 because of this knee injury that he's been dealing with. So unless we see some turnaround, I think by today, I'm going to be really nervous about him coming back this week. I wanted to talk about Justin Fields briefly, too, because even though he's been back and healthy, I thought something he said, you know, we're always looking for these, nuances of when players talk about injuries and sort of to make it make sense for fantasy managers, why something might impact a player. So you remember Justin Fields hurt his shoulder, his non-throwing shoulder, and he was talking about the fact that people were asking how he's doing playing through it, if it's still painful, the reporters were asking. And he said, you know, there's still some, but he talked about the fact that it still hurts when he runs and he has to really explode for, like, that's when he would feel it the most. And I think people think about shoulder, if you're a thrower, like, that's when it bothers you. But they forget, like, when you have an injury to your shoulder, it can actually affect you when you're running. And as a running quarterback, that's actually a big deal because he felt like if he ran really hard, he couldn't run as hard as he wanted to because when you move your arms when you run, right?
Of course.
So you're moving your shoulder. And just, I thought that was an interesting nugget for people to think about when you're wondering about, like, why would a quarterback who has a shoulder injury be limited at all in rushing yards coming off of that?
Yeah.
Well, there's your reason. There's so remind me to bring that up again next time we have a quarterback with a shoulder. We could be talking about it with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
okay. That's something at least to be able to keep in mind as a part of this. We love Justin Fields. Have him starting against the Lions this week.
I think he's doing fine with it now. He'll be okay. But I mean, that was more like, to me, I was like, that's insightful. And I think it's helpful to know.
I think that I would like to say, I think Jared Goff could at least be in the conversation for a lineup lock. I'm the lowest on him at quarterback 9. But as a home quarterback, he's scoring over 21 points per game. And so I'm looking at
him. Why do you hate him? Why do you hate Jared Goff?
I don't hate Jared Goff. I do. I think it's an emotional hedge on my part. I think is what it is.
Yeah, he's been tremendous, though. Past 4 weeks, he's got a top 4 finish in 3 of them. He's coming off of his best road game of the season. Yep. It's a good opportunity against Chicago. We discussed this yesterday on the pod. Mike reminded the masses that while the raw numbers against the Bears in the passing game don't look so good, it actually is a much more favorable outlook when you break it down on a per-play basis. And basically, since Justin Fields' rise took over, they have been scoring a lot more points and allowing a lot more points. The game has not been nearly as slow for Chicago. So Mike and I both have him in the top 7 for quarterbacks, the best streaming option available by far, the best replacement for someone like Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts if he is out, if we don't have Tua Tagovailoa this week, which it certainly sounds like we won't. As they said yesterday, Teddy Bridgewater is going to proceed as the starter. So if you can get your hands on Jared Goff, no problem starting him in this cushy spot this weekend.
Yeah, just to put a bow on the matchup, over the past 4 weeks, the Bears have allowed the most fantasy points to
quarterbacks.
That
seems bad. Good for Jared Goff. Yeah.
Their top 2 perimeter corners on IR.
Yeah,
not so good. It's just getting worse
and
worse.
They're claiming players and signing guys to the practice squad right now in Chicago. It's a get to the finish line for that secondary.
Sure
right
is. Yeah. When we're looking at these Lions running backs,
good luck.
It's been real tough. Here's the thing. Since week 12, this I think is a really good note. Since week 12, only once has a Detroit Lions running back scored over 12.5 fantasy points.
I'll make this one quick, and I'm sorry to interrupt here, Mike, but like, if you are playing a Lions running back, you are succeeding only if you get lucky.
Yep.
That's it. If Jamal Williams finds the end zone a couple of times, which maybe they move the football effectively, and he can, but as Mike has told you a million times, what's the upside with Jamal Williams? He can score a touchdown and still get you only 10.9 fantasy points.
Right.
And then with DeAndre Swift, he could find the end zone once or twice this weekend. I have no doubt about that. Like, he's super talented, right? And he did play way more snaps than Jamal Williams last week, but how many opportunities has DeAndre Swift had this year where he's played a bunch of snaps and returned less than 10 fantasy points?
Yeah.
The answer is a lot.
Yeah, I will say this. I mean, DeAndre Swift, I have 23rd. You have 25th. Daniel, 23rd. I mean, he's a guy people, I think, are going to make a decision on, right? He's a close call this
totally
week.
Is.
So last week, he did play 56% of the snaps. That was his highest since week 1, right? So you could look at that as a positive, or you could look at it as maybe he goes back down to 35% this week.
Wasn't a heavy number of snaps for them last week, which might have been part of it as well, right?
Yeah.
Like they allowed so many rushing yards that they barely had the ball.
Right.
But yeah, and they also were throwing it a ton.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I mean, he's been over 12 and a half fantasy points in one of his last 8 games. I mean, it just hasn't happened.
You're going to have to get lucky.
It's tough for sure. I mean, even if you do, like, to your point, though, even if he does find the end zone once, he might not get there. He might have 13 or 12. You know, it just hasn't happened. So it is a good matchup, though. Bears, fifth most fantasy points to running backs and the second most touchdowns as well. I think he's borderline. I think he's borderline. I don't know how many Swift teams are still left. You know, if you took him in round two, he might not be sitting around.
Probably
you are, but
I mean, I've got a big consolation matchup with the under Swift in it.
I'll tell you what, it's really tough because this is one of those situations where DeAndre Swift is a really talented player, but not getting enough usage. And this is one of those, and I don't know how to quantify this, but I look at this as a win or go home game for the Detroit Lions. They've got to win out in order to be able to make the playoffs. So they need to bring it each of the next 2 weeks. DeAndre Swift has to be a big part of that, but we'll see how much the Lions decide to utilize him. That's been one of the hard parts.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what happens in the offseason. Like, could he be a surprise trade guy? You know, like, it's just, I think about Hard Knocks and like how Deuce Staley wasn't all in on him. It's funny
that you brought that up because I've been thinking about that. Like, you know, it's kind of in the back of your mind all season. He kept saying he wanted to see if he could be that guy, you know, interesting.
Don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Mike. And it's fine. I think it's a very interesting subplot to watch. Mm-hmm.
One more guy really quickly. Cole Kmet. I think you can start Cole Kmet against this Lions defense. Basically, the only other Bears that you can start other than David Montgomery or Justin Fields.
His best game of the season was week 10 against the Detroit Lions. 4 for 74 and 2 touchdowns and 7 targets. The Lions, most touchdowns allowed to tight ends this season as well. And that's what you want from your tight end, right? Especially these borderline guys. Like Travis Kelce could survive without a touchdown. Like very few others can.
This might be a week touchdown in a month.
Yeah, Kmet may find the end zone in this one. So I like him. I think he's a solid tight end one.
All right, knowing that Travis Kelce has not scored a touchdown in a month, let's go ahead and talk Broncos at Chiefs. Is he still a lineup lock?
Tough call.
Yes, he is. Jerry Jeudy, Patrick Mahomes, and Travis Kelce still are lineup locks. No, Russell Wilson. Three of them there. Russell Wilson is
week
a tough
one. He been.
Are we going to have Russell Wilson under center this week?
He will start. Rosberg, the interim head coach. By the way, we have two out of the three interim head coaches for teams right now. Weren't even on the staff at the beginning of the year.
This is the guy who was hired to help make the decisions.
Yeah, the in-game management guy.
In-game management.
Now the head coach.
Just chaos. Is this like the new thing now? There's a lot of just
odd hires.
Be careful
who you bring in during the season.
I got nothing. I'm biting my tongue. We got a lot to get to. I'll bite my tongue until the offseason on some of these thoughts.
Let's start with Latavius Murray. Mike, you've been on. Listen, we've talked about Latavius Murray the last couple of weeks, and especially from a DFS perspective, another spoiler alert, he has been great the last couple of weeks.
Well, 2 weeks ago he was. Yeah, last week was a mess because of game script. He just got scripted out early. They got blown out, and he barely played.
So. And so how do you look at him going into this week against the Chiefs?
Not as highly. Again, 28 snaps last week. I think the largest concern there is Chase Edmonds is back.
I was just going to say that Chase Edmonds, you wondered what he was going to do. They just activated him off IR, but he actually got more involved. They were running Marlon Mack as number two all week. And there was a lot of question about whether Chase Edmonds would be active, first of all, and then how much he would really do because, they hadn't seen him yet involved in the game. And he ended up with a better stat line than Marlon Mack and took, enough to cut into Latavius Murray.
Yeah, 28 snaps for Murray, 25 for Edmonds, 10 for Mack. Now, I think Murray maybe plays 10 more if the game is competitive. But still, I mean, Chase Edmonds is going to have a role here. They're still trying to find a passing down back.
I was just going
to
say pass catcher. Yep.
Exactly. So I'm not super pumped about Murray. I wouldn't want to start him this week. RB30, we're all kind of in the same vicinity there here against Kansas City. By the way, game script probably not going to be, right? Yeah. I mean, we saw it 2 weeks ago, but
I know, but that was the one exception, right?
I'm with you. That was his only
one exception. We had upside and he hit that upside, but it's like, what are the chances he hits it again? Very low.
When you're looking at both of these Chiefs running backs, I still feel like we're in a spot where you've got to start both of them, in part because Isaiah Pacheco continues to get volume, 15 or more touches in each of the last 7 games.
You know
but Jerick McKinnon getting a ton of passing game work still feels.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure like Mike's brain and probably Mike's mind would tell you like it's like Pacheco may end up being the safer play between these two. Like me, the emotional person here is saying like, if you have Jerick McKinnon, you're freaking playing him this week. He's got a touchdown catch in 4 straight games. I know at some point it's not going to happen. That being said, like with the passing game opportunities, the touchdowns he's been scoring, the way he's just looked for this Chiefs offense, like I think he'd be crazy not to play Jerick McKinnon this weekend. Didn't he have the monster game against the Broncos a few weeks back as well? Well, you're laughing at me. What?
I'm laughing because you're just always like, on the guy scoring a bunch of touchdowns, you're glass half full, I'm glass half empty. I know. You're like, I want to, it's going to keep going forever. And I'm just like, no, he's going to regress.
That's not sustainable. He's going to, the clock is going to strike midnight. I'm just trying to take your, like, I'm trying to put myself in the mind of somebody who's making the decision, who's sitting there like, okay, so who's not like combing through box scores and watching tape and like, you know, doing projections like you are, who's like, wait, you're telling me to play the guy who hasn't been scoring over the guy that has been scoring?
Sometimes.
The guy who's running back two over the last 4 weeks, I should maybe consider sitting
you're playing him. Right? Wait,
what if the Chiefs threw a wrench into everything and brought Clyde Edwards-Helaire back?
Stop it, Stefania. Don't do that.
I was going to say,
don't speak that into existence.
Melvin Gordon elevated from the practice squad for one revenge opportunity.
Look, he's getting close, Andy Reid has said. Uh-huh. Now, he was not activated last week, but he's out there. He could come back.
That was one of them head coach tweet or quotes where you could see right through it. It's just like, you know, they don't want to. Like,
they don't want to.
He could come back and play four snaps anyway.
Yeah. Like, he could. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I hear
just saying, keep your eye on the news. It could happen.
I think you can start both of them, though. Both of these running backs.
You can. I think they're both flex options. I have Pacheco one spot ahead. He has 15 or more touches and 82-plus yards in seven straight games. To your point, Field, about his floor, it's been tremendous. And he mixes in targets here or there, RB18 since week 12. So he's just hanging in there. He's just, I know the touchdowns have gone to McKinnon. He's been fine. More passing down where Mecole Hardman will be back here. He could steal some of that short range stuff.
I was just going to say, out since week 9, this is one who we know is coming back because Andy Reid has been clear. Last week he was close. They wanted to give him an extra week. And Andy Reid basically said to presume that he would be out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's move ahead. We're going to talk Dolphins at...
You're not interested in Mecole Hardman.
No,
no, we're not sorry.
I'm not interested in Mecole Hardman, no.
I just want to be clear.
No, it's good context to have for the game.
It's good context for Jerick McKinnon.
That is right.
Yep. I'm 100% with you there. All right, Dolphins at Patriots. Lineup blocks include Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Ramondre Stevenson. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle still lineup blocks in spite of the fact that we are not going to have Tua Tagovailoa under center.
He's definitely out. And we talked yesterday about Teddy Bridgewater being the starter, and that it's just all been confirmed.
Yep. All right, with Teddy Bridgewater under center then, Mike Clay, how are you looking at these running backs?
Not fondly.
Yeah, that's the right word.
Jeff Wilson, 40. Raheem Mostert, 41.
Are they
very
vexing?
Low.
Yeah.
Are they what?
Vexing?
They are vexing. No, they're not vexing. They're just a dog.
Yeah.
I'm not interested. I mean, we don't know. First of all, we don't know which one's a 1A, honestly. Yeah. Which one's 1A, 1B? It changes by week, so that's hard to figure out in the first place. And also, super tough matchup. Again, I feel like even during the Tom Brady era, we don't talk enough about how good their defenses have been. Like, even the last couple of years, I'm looking at their defense on paper, and I'm just like, looks like it's average personnel-wise, below average. And every time they allow like 1.9 touchdowns per game or something, which is terrific. That's outstanding if you're under 2 per game. And it's every year with New England they do this. And again,
Bill Belichick,
right? 100%. Absolutely. He just knows how to maximize the personnel he has. And against running backs specifically, second fewest fantasy points, 4 touchdowns. Running backs have scored 4 touchdowns against him this season. That is fewest in the NFL. I don't want to mess with this backfield.
Yeah. I will say for the receivers, though, like it is worth noting, you were starting them anyways, but the Patriots extremely shorthanded at cornerback right now, which they've dealt with some injuries.
How many
of
Joneses
late.
Are out?
Potentially 2 out of the 3.
2 out of the 3 on defense.
Is Marcus Jones, a cornerback who's been maybe of late one of their best defensive players
and best offensive and special teams players.
You can look at that in two very different ways. Yes. Like on the one hand, like looks like a building block kind of player for the next 10 years. On the other hand, it's like your offense was really crappy. And all of a sudden a guy who plays like 4 snaps a game is one of your best players. The offense is really crappy. That much we can say. But yeah, he's in concussion protocol as well right now. So 3 of their top 4 cornerbacks are all out of practice right now.
Yeah,
so,
Jalen Mills and Jack out. Jones, Marcus
and Marcus Jones.
Jones.
So that leaves Jonathan Jones. One of the Joneses is still available. So
try
we don't have to keep up with the Joneses.
Jones.
That much.
That's right.
Hey,
Jones.
There we go.
Hey,
that's our new drafting strategy. You just keep up with Mac Jones. Yeah, I mean, just get all the Joneses.
All the Joneses.
So if there's a Jones in the draft this year, put a couple bucks on landing spot.
Yeah, there you go.
Guys, I'm not going to start Jacoby Myers this week if I can help it. I have him outside my top 40 at the wide receiver position.
Yep. No Patriots player other than Ramondre
Stevenson. Other than Ramondre Stevenson
for me. And we still don't know, and I'm not even going to ask DeFarge. We still don't know on Damien Harris. That's what we know. We don't know.
All right, let's move ahead. We'll talk Colts at Giants. Lineup blocks for Colts at Giants include Saquon Barkley and Michael Pittman. Looks like a clean injury slate, Stefania.
Yep, so far.
So let me ask this question. Daniel Jones has been one of the guys you've been looking at as a streaming option over the last couple of weeks here. Three of the last 4 weeks, he has been inside the top 12 at quarterback. Is he a streaming option again this week?
Maybe. I'm a little more nervous than Mike is. We're only a couple spots apart. I will say this. I know that the Colts pass defense got shredded in the second half of the Vikings game, and that is like hard to dislodge from your memory.
It's also hard to quantify. That game was so weird.
It was so weird. They were incredible in the first half of that game. Justin Jefferson had three catches at halftime, and everybody was like, oh my God, Justin Jefferson is going to get slowed down in the fantasy playoffs. Last week, this past Monday, they were excellent again. Obviously, just two rushing touchdowns allowed to Austin Eckler. So we'll keep an eye. I'm not quite as convinced it's a great matchup, but then with Daniel Jones, as Mike is, I'm sure, going to tell you, he obviously adds some real value with his legs, which gets him probably into the streaming territory.
Oh, yeah. 109 carries, 617 yards, and 5 touchdowns on the ground.
That's awesome.
That's a lot. That's way more than I would have even guessed. I mean, 617 rushing yards, top 5 in all 3 of those categories. Only 13 passing touchdowns, which has limited him from a full-on breakout. But look, 17-plus fantasy points in 5 of his last 7. You mentioned the Colts. I mean, good against Justin Herbert, as everyone knows that Ed Herbert last week, they did great against him. But Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, you know, again, you can put the asterisk on Kirk Cousins, but Hurts and Dak had good games against them as well. So I think Jones is enough that he's a streaming option to answer your question. Yep. And again, we all seem to agree. Might not be your best option, but if he is, I think you're okay with it.
One of those situations where he might be a streaming option, but it's because of what he does with his legs, because we don't really have any of these Giants wide receivers inside our top 40. I'm not taking a shot really on any of them if I can help it.
Yep. And by the way, I don't give a crap about coach of the year, all this stuff that we spend basically every day from week one on debating. Mm-hmm. It's a nice thing when it actually gets handed out, but I don't give a crap whether Brian Daboll's the coach of the year this year or not. There are some excellent and very deserving candidates. What he has done with Daniel Jones in this offense deserves endless praise. Whether he wins the award does not bother me, does not impact my feelings on it one way or the other. The fact that we are talking about Daniel Jones playing this effectively in a game that could inch the Giants closer to the playoffs.
This deep in the season.
Unreal. Yeah. Just so utterly impressed with the way that this team has played.
I'm with you. And you have
injuries everywhere.
Injuries. You have a day four. Or excuse me.
A day four tight end.
Wow. That's undrafted, guys. You signed the day after draft. A day three tight end. But day four receivers across the board. Yes. I mean, all guys getting waived by their teams. Hodgins, Richie James, tremendous. Darius Slayton. They were trying to get rid of all offseason.
Yeah.
That's their core, and they're still scoring points, and they're still competitive.
So I'm impressed.
With you. They got rid of Kadarius Toney in the season.
And they lost Wan'Dale Robinson, and Kenny Golladay hasn't worked out.
Sterling Shepard got hurt. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So anyways.
And coaching matters. I mean, this is one of them examples.
Again,
it's a huge difference.
I don't give a crap whether he wins the award or not. Don't waste your energy caring about whether he get him versus Nick Sirianni versus Andy. They're all awesome.
Yeah.
They're all incredible. If any of them win the award, bravo. Kyle Shanahan, put him in that mix as well. Sean McDermott, Zach Taylor. There are a bunch of guys worthy of a nomination. But who cares? They're all doing an exceptional job. We get so focused in on who wins these awards and just lose sight of the fact that, in a league in which we've seen some really bad coaching of late, let's just highlight some of the good stuff as well, whether it wins awards or not.
I want to ask you really quickly. About
that's a bother.
Field.
Yeah, goodness.
Field's sometimes, got something to get off his chest.
Sometimes you just let Field have
We're
his soapbox.
That's
right.
Yeah. That's good. I love it.
I do want to ask though. We talked about Zach Moss. Obviously, no Jonathan Taylor. We saw him 2 weeks ago replacing Jonathan Taylor. Last week, we talked him up.
We learned something last week.
We did learn a lot. Only eight fantasy points.
That's okay, though, is that if you're playing a Colts running back, there's only one you can even consider. It's Zach
and it's him.
There is absolutely zero value for Deion Jackson, who played a total of 8 snaps last week.
What's the upside with Zach Moss?
I think he is sort of, I don't know about Jamal Williams light, but maybe Jamal Williams.
Okay.
Better opportunity this week because he is the go-to back and there isn't a DeAndre Swift he's competing with, but probably not going to catch many passes, if any, but he could get you 65 yards and a touchdown. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, 35 snaps last week, a combined 15 for the other two, Jackson and Jordan Wilkins, clearly the lead back, all complimentary from the coaching afterward too, that they like what he's doing. So I don't expect to change. I think it'll be the same kind of thing. If you're in a tough spot, you need a flex, you could throw him in there. you don't feel great. I agree. Like, I don't feel great about the upside. They're not scoring points. It's been a struggle. Nick Foles struggled last week.
It's not an offense I'm excited about investing a running back in, but
you might get 15 touches.
Last week is a nice way of putting it.
What I do want to talk about, Michael Pittman winds up again on the wide receiver cornerback
list. He does.
Want to shout that out. Check out ESPN Plus if you're not already doing that. Mike, you have a wide receiver cornerback. The Shadow Report is on there. Field, you do Field Pass. That's also an E-plus
column. Also available on E-plus. That's right, yes.
We got a lot of E-plus things going on here, so check that out. But Michael Pittman, positive or negative matchup here this week?
A positive matchup. Adoree Jackson's still out. At some point, he'll be activated, I think. Maybe. We'll see if he comes back this season. But Fabian Moreau has just kind of slid right in as their shadow corner. Terry McLaurin twice, Devontae Smith and Justin Jefferson over the last 4 weeks. Obviously, some tough assignments. It has not gone well for the New York Giants and Fabian Moreau. 8 for 105 and a touchdown. 6 for 70 for McLaurin. 5 for 64 and a touchdown for Devontae Smith. And 12 for 133 and a touchdown for Justin Jefferson. The number ones have crushed them. They've allowed the fifth most fantasy points to receivers over the last 8 weeks, fourth most to the perimeter, which is where Pittman mostly lines up. So should be a good week for Pittman. Definitely in a really good spot. The only concern really, again, is do they score points and how does Nick Foles play? Can he get him the football? The target share was fine last week. It was about a quarter of the targets, despite the fact that he didn't have a big game. But I think it's a good spot here for Pittman.
Yep. Okay, let's move ahead. We'll talk Saints at Eagles next. Lineup blocks, a lot of them in this game include Alvin Kamara, Miles Sanders, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, and Dallas Goedert.
Let's go.
Stefania, a couple of injuries, though, that we need to monitor here. Obviously, we have Jalen Hurts for the Eagles. Let's start with him.
Well, he didn't play last week because of this sternoclavicular sprain. We sort of talked about what the nature of the injury is, that it's it really depends on the severity, the stability, and whether the medical staff feels comfortable with him going out there, not only to absorb the regular contact you would get, but is the chance of being driven into the ground, which is how this injury happened in the first place. So, you know, does he have the proper mechanics? Obviously, he's a runner. And I think that if he does play, there are conversations about making smart decisions. And you can't prevent all tackles, so you're not putting him out there if there's any worry about that.
Sure.
But you're also not looking for additional and unnecessary contact if you're him. The word all along, that chatter has been that he will push to play. Nick Sirianni has talked several times about Jalen Hurts being a freak in terms of how he heals. Like, he heals faster than everyone. I admire the enthusiasm, Nick Sirianni, but biology is biology. And so depending on how, and what we don't know is how severe the actual sprain was. And so there has to be comfort that it's a stable situation. That's the bottom line. And that's not something that we're necessarily going to know. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him doing some stuff in practice, but at the end of the day, it'll be a safety decision, long-term outlook for him.
We'll ask Shefty about it in a couple more minutes. I'm sure his thoughts will also align with Stefania's there.
Yep. All right. And what about Chris Olave, Stefania? Any updates on him?
Well, listed as limited for the practice report yesterday. Missed last week because of the hamstring injury. Obviously, that hurt a lot of fantasy managers, but let's see what he does the rest of the week. So good sign that he was out there for the first day.
We talked about him really quickly yesterday, but if there is no Jalen Hurts, Gardner Minshew filled in great last week. QB7, which is fantastic. You trusted him again here this week.
Yeah, he's a borderline streaming option right in that conversation with guys like like Daniel Jones, Jared Goff. It's fine. Like, if you want to fire him up, that's fine. Yep. Threw for a lot of yards. It is a tough matchup against
the
Saints.
Tougher matchup for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it, but he has such a good supporting cast. He's a fine streamer.
All right, let's talk one more game here from the NFC South. Mm-hmm. Panthers at Bucks. Lineup blocks include Leonard Fournette. Oh my gosh, he is getting so much volume still.
Oh yeah, he is.
And Chris Godwin.
That's it.
And that's it. That's really it. That's crazy. Let's talk about these Panthers running backs. We watched these Panthers running backs just destroy the Detroit Lions run defense.
Shocker.
Unreal.
Shocker.
Unreal. Yeah.
I feel let down by the Detroit Lions run defense. What I don't feel is, while that was a really great performance last week by these Panthers running backs, I don't expect them just to repeat it here this week.
No, zero combined targets last week, which is always a major red flag. That was their best game by far. They did both actually reach 15 fantasy points when these teams played a few weeks ago when the Bucks played. So that's at least gives you some sort of potential, but I do think the Bucks will be better against the run than Detroit was, because it was pretty bad last week. It's still a three-man committee. Raheem Blackshear is going to play as well, so I'm very much worried about upside even after last week. I'm nervous about
I feel the same way as Mike does. I have them both outside my top 30, but what a great note this is. How about all of the players that have five games with at least 110 rushing yards this season? Derrick Henry, he rules, right? Josh Jacobs, he's been incredible this year. Nick Chubb, legit. And Deontay Foreman.
Let's go.
Good for him. Just really cool to see. Man. And we're a few years past this, obviously, but this was a guy who popped his Achilles earlier in his career. Mm-hmm. He bounced around the league. Like, this is sports, man. Guys that we don't expect to do anything who all of a sudden have made a real career for themselves. And by the way, he played behind Christian McCaffrey for the first 5 or 6 weeks of this season. So his opportunity came later than these other guys, and he has just been so, so, so good for the Panthers.
Mm-hmm. When we look at the pass catchers here, Mike, DJ Moore has had over 70 yards and a touchdown in 3 of his last 4 games. Does he have a good matchup here this week?
Yeah, what's notable about those 4 games is it's Sam Darnold's four starts, right? Yeah. So he did have a zero in there.
Basically, when Sam Darnold came back, like, maybe we're going to see DJ Moore.
Yeah, he did have a zero in there, which, you know, wouldn't be Darnold and this offense if that didn't happen. But otherwise, it's been really good. So I feel decent about Moore. If I'm at 30th, I think he'll draw the Carlton Davis shadow. He's been fine this season. He's only shadowed once this season, has Davis. Last year, he only shadowed 4 times, though. 2 of them happened to be against DJ Moore. So I think he'll be on him. Not super worried. He did a decent job last year, but the connection between Darnold and Moore tells me that we can be okay with Moore as a flex.
And it was a slow start last week. Like, he was at like 0 for 0 for a quarter and a half. And I was like, oh my God. And then all of a sudden, bam, 5 for 83 and a touchdown in the second half.
Yes, sir.
Hey, so I'll round out this game and just mention Mike Evans, who I have as wide receiver 30 on my board. And and targets are a stat that I'm done with that part. But like we obviously use targets as a very, very important indicator. And I think that obviously other sports, including the NBA, are way more advanced with some of their metrics than the NFL is. And I wonder if like we could almost divvy targets up into like quality targets versus like non-quality targets. Because I wonder if like you go back and watch Mike Evans' targets over the last 3 games, what percentage of them are basically balls where it's like Brady's under duress and just throws him in the general vicinity of Mike Evans, or like Brady throws the ball, it's like 3 yards over Mike Evans' head because it's actually throwing the ball out of bounds, or it's like a ball that lands like, you know, 5 yards in the dirt before it actually reaches Mike Evans. I wonder what percentage of those actually accounts for Mike Evans' targets, because it feels like a higher number than most receivers.
Fields coming back next year with quality targets.
That's it.
He's going to come up with his own
section. Well, you know me, I'm as the foremost numbers guy in this podcast. That's sure I will.
That's it.
Anyways, I'm as wide receiver 30.
It's true,
though, because
half the
starting time
when you're watching, you're like, well, that way they'll say intended for, you know, if you're right, intended for Mike Evans, you're like, in what sport?
Mike Evans is like on the side, like the Bucks are on defense, and like Mike Evans just happens to catch the ball.
But it's not anywhere thrown at him. Yeah.
That's tough. It's been really tough. I'm going to be interested to see how we rank Mike Evans going into next year, too, because next year
who's quarterback, right? We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see how that works out.
All right. Trask.
Our good buddy Adam Schefter is going to join us here in a second. But first, from holiday gatherings and office parties to fireside conversations and football Thursdays, Saturdays, Sundays, or Mondays, winter means more moments with the coolest people in your life. Make these moments even better with Miller Lite, the great tasting light beer for people who love beer. A new year is a perfect time for friends, family, and a great tasting light beer, which means it's Miller time. Did you take a sip and look around at your friends and think, yeah, this was the right call? Well, that should be no surprise given the dependable flavor of Miller Lite. You know all those dual threat QBs that we love so much? Well, Miller Lite is a dual threat. It's high in taste and low in calories. Since 1975, Miller Lite has been the beer with taste you can depend on. No games, no gimmicks, just a great beer for people who like beer. The right balance between taste and lightness means you get to spend more time drinking with friends and less time thinking about what you're drinking. Miller Lite, great taste, 96 calories. Go to MillerLite.com/FFF to find delivery options near you, or you can pick up some Miller Lite pretty much anywhere they sell beer. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
Yes, please.
Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV, even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today. And time now for us to welcome, for the last time this season, our great friend, Adam Schefter, the most plugged-in man in all of football. A very well-traveled and proud father of late, because, Schefty, I watched the Nickelodeon broadcast this past Christmas Sunday, and I hate to say it, Schefty, but you have been benched as the best TV personality in your own family. How's that feel?
Feel, there's nothing that you could say to me that would make me any happier than that. So that is a great honor. That is a great pleasure. Now, back to what you previously said, you said this is the last one of the year, meaning like 2022 or the last one of the season, like we're done.
Yeah.
This is it.
Well, I think so. I think we only have one show. We only have one show next week, and it's Thursday. So I'll have to follow up with the bosses about how we're going to dip, because we have to do all 16 game previews in one day. So maybe we will do a Schefter segment in there as well if you want to join us. We always have
time
for you, Schefter.
I'm here. I'm not ready to be rid of you guys just yet, but I appreciate the kind words about Dylan. And yes, like I said, to get back to that, it would be my greatest honor to be the second most outstanding broadcaster in my family. Believe me.
Dylan Schefter, Schefty's daughter, who is just an incredible, incredible young lady, was also the sideline reporter for the Nickelodeon game, crushed it, and crushes it frequently on Nickelodeon. So great to see you, Schefty. We'll flaunt you now as Dylan's dad going forward.
Great.
We have actually a handful of stories that are kind of interesting this week. The Raiders made a quarterback change, though, and we talked about it both from a fantasy and a real-life standpoint earlier in the show. Like, what do you think was the impetus behind this decision?
The Ravens, you said?
The Raiders. Raiders.
Raiders. Well, okay. A few things here. Again, I think we've got a new general manager. We've got a new head coach. They come in. They assess the situation. I think they like Derek Carr, but again, you look at it, and the body of work didn't get it done this year. He leads the league in interceptions. He's got over $40 million in guaranteed money due if he gets hurt in one of the season's final 2 weeks. And I think that they've seen enough to know that he's not going to be their quarterback of the future. So what's the sense in even prolonging this and making this go on any further? So obviously they spoke with him yesterday, and Derek Carr decided to leave the team because he's going to be the number three quarterback. There's no use in playing him. There's no use in practicing him when you are exposing him to potentially that plus $40 million in guaranteed money. They don't want to risk that when they know that they're going in a new direction at quarterback. Essentially, they benched him, and they made a statement that we're going to go get a new quarterback for 2023, whether that's through the draft, through free agency, through a trade, but that quarterback in 2023 is not going to be Derek Carr.
And there are a lot of people that have ties to the Las Vegas Raiders in one way or another who could become available this offseason.
Give us the list, Field. Give us the
list. Jimmy Garoppolo may or may not have played with Josh McDaniels back in their New England days together. Yeah. Devontae Adams may or may not be very close to Aaron Rodgers, who the Packers might have different plans, but just something to keep in mind this offseason. And Tom Brady may or may not have played with McDaniels in the past, who could be a free agent this offseason. So some names that certainly will be discussed surrounding the Raiders quarterback situation in about a couple of months when, if you don't already have them on, turn your Schefty notifications on Twitter. You'll have all the big stories. Other quarterback news, Schefty. We talked about this with Stefan a little while ago. What's your general sense on whether Jalen Hurts plays this Sunday for the Eagles?
I don't think so. That'd be my guess today. Now, let's see if he practices today. But the first practice of the week on Wednesday, a DNP.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I almost feel like they knew their plan all along. Mm-hmm. And Stefania knows the significance of the SC joint injury better than I do.
Sure.
But I think that when he suffered that injury, in my own mind, I'm thinking, they're probably thinking, let's see if we could win in Dallas with Gardner Minshew. Let's see if we could win at home against New Orleans with Gardner Minshew. And if we can't win either of those two games and we get Jalen Hurts the rest that he needs, and through the actions of other teams and our own team, we still haven't clinched the number one seed. Well, we could always bring Jalen Hurts back for that last regular season game to try to lock up the number one. Nobody said that to me. It's just a plausible, logical theory that they don't have to stick their quarterback who's hurt out there any sooner than they need to. They don't have to expose him any sooner than they need to. Give him time to try to recuperate and recover from this injury while they hope that the business of clinching the one seed takes care of itself, which it hasn't yet. Yeah. Now there's another week, and let's see if it does this week. And if it doesn't this week, well, then they have a decision next week to make with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, no, I think that all sounds extremely logical and commonsensical. I also think that this weekend could be extra motivating for the Eagles, is if they win, they not only clinch the number one seed, but they push the draft pick that is owed to them from the Saints even closer to number one overall. So Philly should come out with its hair on fire playing at home. Lamar Jackson,
That would be one more reason to play Jalen Hurts, actually, now that you point that outfield. It's an excellent point. So,
yeah, but I do think...
Jalen, we know you're hurt. We know you're really not 100%, but we really want this draft pick to be as high as possible.
Fifth overall pick, yeah, that could be pretty sweet. Lamar Jackson, I feel like, Shefty, at this point, I'm not asking for like a broken record answer. I'm just... You obviously have been all over this story. Like, do you feel as though the target has moved at all for Lamar Jackson?
Yes.
Or is this okay? And
yes.
How so? Like, is this like, could we be looking at a Sunday night without Lamar Jackson again? Because it seems like that's where we're headed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And again, when he got hurt, I think the team thought it would be a week to two injury. And he's missed, what is it, two games now or three games?
I think it's three now.
Three.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I do know this. I do know that they told other people that they expected him back Christmas Eve against Atlanta.
Mm.
I do know that was the target date. And so not only was he not back then, but he wasn't back at practice yesterday. And it sounds like we're tracking for another week of Tyler Huntley against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's the way it sounds right now. So it just seems a little unusual right now that this has gone on the way it has. And look, that's a big deal, a PCL with Lamar Jackson. So you just wonder what's going on here. It just feels like there's more to this than just that. I don't know that. I'm just saying they thought he'd be back initially against Atlanta on Christmas Eve, and he's still not practicing.
I'm going to put my common sense hat on and also note that, of course, he's looking for a new contract. And obviously, he has not yet received one. He could very well be headed for the franchise tag this offseason, but any sort of major injury would obviously impact any quarterback's contract negotiations.
Well, I don't think he's spoken, and I'd like to hear him answer that before we pin that on him. But your thought is logical, right? Like, what's going on here? What's going on here?
Yeah.
Like, is that tied to this? I think it's fair to wonder about it. I don't have the answer to it, right? But I'd like to ask Lamar Jackson that. So if the beat writers in the Baltimore area have access to Lamar Jackson in the locker room, if he's I don't recall seeing comments from him.
Nope.
Right?
Hasn't spoken. So I don't know when we'll hear from him next, which is fine. We want him to get healthy on his own timeline. But by the way,
absolutely.
They have a massive game. Not that Sunday night's not big, but week 18 against the Bengals has AFC North division winning implications on the line. That game could be for all the marbles in the AFC North with a couple of things working out this week. So maybe Lamar is back for that one. This one, I think, maybe a little easier, Shefty. Tony Pollard, back-to-back days of not practicing for the Cowboys, who have a very, very, very minuscule shot at the NFC East but are probably headed for the top wild card in the NFC. Do you expect to see him tonight?
It doesn't sound like they have a lot of motivation to put him out there in the regular Tony Pollard-type role when they have the position that they do in the playoffs and they're playing a clearly undermanned Titans team that's not going to have Derrick Henry. Like, if they can't beat Tennessee on the road on a short week with Zeke Elliott and Malik Davis and whoever else they trot out there and get their running back some needed rest when his thigh is not fully healthy for a stretch run that's going to be more important, That again, we're leaning on common sense here today. Common sense with the Raiders and their quarterback situation and their quarterbacks of the future. Common sense with Lamar Jackson. Common sense with Tony Pollard, right? This is not any great insights. This is not Big J journalism here, Field. This is just looking at the situation and assessing it in a simple and logical way. And the logical way would tell you there's no need to play or really overwork Tony Pollard this evening.
Well, Shefty, we'll get you out on this one. Do you have any lineup decisions of your own this week?
Yeah, last week we won. And
let's go.
I've got one flex spot. We could go Gabe Davis.
Okay.
We could go Jahan Dotson. We could go Gus Edwards. That would be one decision. The other that's interesting is the quarterback position. I roster Justin Fields and Justin Herbert.
Ooh.
And I a little worried about both. Like, I don't know that Fields is fully healthy. I don't know what motivation the Bears have. I heard Matt Eberflus this week say that, you know, it's important to them. Okay, that's great. I like the scoring potential in that game. Justin Fields is not running as much. The shoulder has to be an issue. So I'm a little worried about that. And Justin Herbert has not played well for whatever reason. Has not thrown any touchdowns in, what, three games?
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, I could go with one of those two, or I could just pick up Gardner Minshew or Brock Purdy.
You do have a lot of decisions right there, Shefty.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Stefania was talking exactly about what you discussed with Justin Fields and that shoulder and how it has impacted his rushing upside of late, especially this past Saturday when he barely ran against the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to go around the room here. Like, my thought would be Justin Fields and Gabe Davis were the first two names that came to mind for me. Any disagreement? Any other? Okay.
I have a decision-making tree that I usually do, Adam, and it goes, does your quarterback play the Detroit Lions? If the answer is yes, then you play them. That's the way that I do my fantasy quarterback.
Well, you know what? And Justin Fields has been my guy all year long. Like, yeah. I've ridden him, and he's produced. And so you want to go with your guys. Like, I'd hate to go pick up Gardner Minshew or Brock Purdy as much as I like and respect them. Play them, and all of a sudden Justin Fields does what Justin Fields does. And you're like, what am I doing? Why am I getting cued here, right?
Yeah. You've made it this far. Cute. Yeah, it seems like we've got actually some consensus there, which may or may not be helpful, but we are on the Justin Fields, Gabe Davis.
Okay, and the flex spot?
Gabe Davis seems to be the pick all the way around, who obviously last week had the touchdown and looked more like the Gabe Davis we expected him to be coming into the season.
That offense, too.
Yeah, that offense and that matchup, it gives you some skin in the game on Monday night, too, which I always like. You know, you might only need 4 points, but it's good to have just one player to get you those
points.
Well,
I already have T. Higgins in that game, so now I got two receivers.
Then you could be down by 20 and feel good about your opportunity still, Shefty.
But we start the week tonight with the Dallas defense, and I feel pretty good about them.
That one you got to feel really good about. Yeah, we have a bet whether or not Malik Willis will have over 100 passing yards tonight, which he has not yet done as a starter this season.
100 passing yards? No, 100 rushing yards he might have.
But 100 passing yards in three starts, that's amazing to me.
What's his highest total in the three?
I think it's 92.
Far.
Seriously, well,
that's like a Patrick Mahomes quarter.
Yeah.
We have a full board bet, Adam, where if Malik Willis hits over 100 yards, Field and I get to egg Mike's house tomorrow. Yeah. And so we're really rooting for over 100.
Yes, I have over 100. You have under 100.
I have 100 exactly. Oh, that's you're right. Under 100.
Daniel has exactly 100. I have under and Mike has over. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But Shefty, we wish you the best of luck. You don't need it, but we wish you the very best of luck. And we look forward to fantasy football now on Sunday. Not just your insight, but the final...
Long shot for Dylan's
dad and I. You can see this.
We're tied, right?
Dylan's dad, the graphic's been upgraded for Dylan's dad. Yeah. You and I are tied, Shefty. So 8-8. So the victor goes to spoils. So I'm not sure. I will not be betting you the opportunity to egg your home. We'll think of something different for stakes for long shots. But hopefully we can find a way.
Wow, you guys tied. 8-8. That's impressive.
Just how the producers drew it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shefty, that's how it should be, right?
You can reveal your pick right now if you want. Because you are on the team.
I haven't even thought about it right now. Usually it's like Saturday night. I'm like, okay, I say to John Zupan, who's under 20% here? Well, what are we got? Is this guy?
Yep.
And we pick up our long shot. We go from there. But I do a first choice, so whoever I pick will be my choice, and that'll be it.
Oh, gosh. A lot of pressure on me.
Wow.
Shefty, well, we appreciate you, and we'll talk to you again on Sunday. Looking forward to that already.
Happy New Year to everybody, and good luck to everybody in their fantasy football championships.
Thank you. Happy New Year to Dylan's dad, and of course to Dylan, the entire family as well. All right, there you have it.
There you have it. One last thing, if we just want to mention it really quickly, we have a friend that has a birthday today.
We do.
A friend that no longer works with us, but Matthew
Berry's birthday.
So I just want to say shout out to Matthew.
What do you call 75? Silver birthday?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Match the hair?
You know, Matthew, who thinks that nobody remembers his birthday because it comes in the week between Christmas and New Year's. Remember?
I texted him this morning. He didn't respond.
Yeah, me too.
That's funny.
Did he respond?
Nope.
Well, wow.
You know what? He's
rescind my text.
I bet he's watching this live. I'm sure he's watching it live right now. And he's going to download it later.
He was waiting for us to say it.
I spilled my water, sorry.
To recognize
that's so good.
Happy birthday, bud.
Happy birthday, Matthew. All right. That's going to do it for us today. It is Thursday. Remember, we are rooting for Malik Willis under 100 passing yards.
Yes.
All of us are rooting for that. All right.
Over. Lock it in.
We love you guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Don't forget to love each other. Be kind to yourself. We'll see you tomorrow on Friday for our full preview of the rest of the week 17 games. Good luck tonight. See ya.
He's a NASCAR guy with a basement shrine, a Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the corners.
2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.